Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. It's your host, Belinda Ellsworth, and I'm so excited about our guest today. I have Sabrina Zohar with me today. Sabrina has been obsessed with fashion since the age of 14. She got her start in the industry as an assistant buyer working alongside her sister, Jamie, at the local surf shop in their hometown of Boca Raton, Florida. Less than a decade later, Sabrina had created a name for herself in the fashion industry as a buyer for Dolce Vita, her dream job, and went on to work with industry-leading brands like Ellie Saab and CP Shades. After graduating from New York City's Fashion Institute of Technology, she began honing her focus to the performance apparel and athletic leisure wear industry, managing accounts for Nesh, Nux, and Prism Sport. Still, Sabrina struggled to find sustainably made, domestically produced basics at an affordable price. The gap in the market, combined with the nuanced understanding of what both buyers and customers want, led to the creation of Brooklyn's first sustainable, domestic, and affordable collection of basics with an athletic edge and unapparelled softness. She called it Softwear. It is my pleasure today to welcome Sabrina to our show.
Thank you so much. It's awesome to be here.
Yeah, I'm just so excited to hear more about the story. So why don't you just dive right in and fill in some of the gaps about your bio and just tell us a little bit more about yourself.
Absolutely. So I always laugh and say that Softwear really started from shopping with my sister. Every time we'd go out, it was always the I'd buy it if kind of thing. And so we'd always go and I'd buy it if it were black. I'd buy it if it didn't have this. I'd buy it if it didn't have that. And I started realizing how many more people were actually saying that. And so really, Softwear I never imagined I'd even have. I always knew I wanted to own my own business, but had really started, came to New York for acting. Always knew fashion was a passion, but I never thought I could translate that into using it for other people as opposed to just my self-expression. And it wasn't until working in the industry, really, really being out there, going to doing trunk shows, traveling literally the world and going from city to city within the span of 2-3 months at a time, being away from New York and just listening to what everybody had to say, which was, I'm sick and tired of being kind of taken advantage of by a lot of brands that are charging over $100 for a piece that's clearly made from the cheapest fabric you can find, which is usually polyester or cotton or any of those synthetics like rayon. Nine times out of 10, you look at the tag, it's made in China, it's made in Taiwan, it's made just anywhere that, even if it says ethically made in, there is literally zero way that anybody can control that unless they are at the factory while the garments are physically being made in front of them, because anything can be ethical when you're on your visit to your factory when it's pre-planned. So these were all kind of those holes that I was seeing. And it really wasn't until about 2 summers ago, my mom went to the doctor, just she had a headache. And I was working at Fairly Saab, traveling the world and just not feeling fulfilled, started working out, kind of cut cigarettes, cut all anti-anxiety and depression medications, went paleo and started working out and started realizing like there was just more out there for me in life than just going every day and being literally miserable to say that I worked for one of the coolest companies out there. And so when my mom got sick, she went from just a headache to finding out she had 6 brain aneurysms that pretty much corroded the entire top vessel of her brain. And so I was told if I left my job to see her for a week, it would be job abandonment. So needless to say, I walked out. I stayed in Florida with my mom for 2 months. And that's when I started working in that fitness and kind of active wear world with Nesh and Prism Sport and started honing in on Softwear with my sister and coming up with this really cool concept. And it wasn't until I met my business partner where it became something that could be a reality. Again, still something that was just a pipe dream. And the day after my mom's first successful surgery, she had 3 unsuccessful ones. The day that I knew she was okay. And I got a photo of her with 2 thumbs up in the bed saying she made it with no side effects when they had given her about a 5% chance of any kind of survival. We started the company that day.
Oh, that's an incredible story.
Thank you. Since then, it's been like mom's been there for like our first trunk show. She's always been like first everything kind of there with me. I talk to her 500 times a day and nothing happens in this company without kind of talking with her first and getting her as my sounding board, because now every single day that goes by that I have her has just been something that I can't even express in words, as gratitude that I have towards just everything that I do.
You know, it just reminds me, and I'm sharing this with a lot of people. I was sharing it to a group earlier today, but it's oftentimes out of one of our most challenging times in our life, or what seems to be one of the most stressful, or even, you know, just when we sometimes kind of hit this really low place, is when we really make strong decisions that end up going on to propel us to the greatest thing that's happened to us.
1,000%.
And so walking out of your job, I think, was... You probably wouldn't have done it at that time had that not happened with your mom.
Exactly. I knew I was itching for something, but I was doing what all of us do, that comfort of, well, I'll apply for a job and I'll use a couple of personal days for interviews. But, you know, if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. At least I'm making money now and I have a secure job and I'm cushy and I have my apartment in the East Village and life is daisies and roses. But I needed to change. I was so comfortable, so miserably comfortable in everything that I was doing, but taking that risk of you're going to walk out of working for someone 9 to 5 and go on your own with no backup plan, with no cushion, with no investors, like none of that. It was terrifying. But like you said, in those, the last, pretty much last 2 years, year and a half since I started software, it has been one thing after another of like just perpetual states of what else could possibly go wrong. And when I thought I hit rock bottom, I really started knocking on the door to try and get myself deeper, because that's how dark it got. That, in looking in retrospect to where we are to today, I don't think I would have had it any other way, because I never would be where I am if I didn't have so many rock bottom moments of losing and almost losing and realizing you didn't lose and being grateful for the things you did lose.
That's right. So tell us about the business. Tell me a little bit more about it today, software. Tell me about the products. Tell me about where they're manufactured. It sounds exciting.
Okay, I'm about to nerd out. So just an FYI, I love talking about this. So software started, my business partner, kind of a little bit of backstory on him. Me personally, I've never owned a business. So this was, I come from, you know, my dad came to America with $20 in his pocket from from Israel, moved to America to follow his dream. Same with my mom. She came from originally Egypt and then France and then the States. So I always watched just an incredible work ethic and have my dad, you know, he never worked for anybody. He was always doing his own thing and always really instilled upon us like the most incredible work ethic and the hustle that has shaped the company into what it is. And then my business partner, Craig, he actually, the show Fixer Upper, he is the company Harp Design Co. that does all the furniture on Harp Design, on Fixer Upper, excuse me. So his background is manufacturing. He has American made, he has done Chinese manufacturing. He's had his own paint and roller company. You know, he's scaled businesses from, you know, 1 or 2 million up to 10 million within a few years of just self-funding. So he really understood how to get our costs lower, how to be able to manufacture in America sustainably from start to finish without any shortcuts along the way while still maintaining retails under $90, which is my number one. So originally, which I think any startup entrepreneur will be able to attest to, the plans that you make in the beginning that don't pan out as you go along. So when we kind of came, it was, all right, we have our basics, we have our core collection, we're going to do 5 styles for women, 3 for men. We had this amazing modal fabric that we thought was the end all be all. And we said, great, we're done. We started sampling our fabrics and I'll kind of explain what modal is. And long story short, we realized our fabric started to literally disintegrate and come apart as you wore it. So every time you washed it, it would shed all over the floor, all over your body, and it didn't stop. It was like a hemorrhaging. So needless to say, that was the 911. So when it comes to sustainable fabrics and manufacturing, there's a couple of things that we kind of can't avoid. As far as fabrics are concerned, there are names of the game. Polyester can never be sustainably made. It is hands down the worst fabric that you could possibly make for this planet, whether it comes with the chemicals that come with it, the electricity it takes to make the actual fabric, and the water that it takes to make, same with cotton. Cotton uses almost 30 times more water than most other crops in general use. And just the process of turning cotton into a garment, it's astronomical as to what it can do to our environment. So off the bat, certain products that you see, you already know you're at a disadvantage. Then comes the fact of no one really makes any of these products in the United States. So not only are you just terrible for the environment, they're not biodegradable. There's really no way to recycle them except to remake a garment, which has its own unsustainable practices to it. And then that leads me to this recycled plastic trend that's happening. Recycled plastic is just as terrible as the original plastic because every time you wash a garment made of recycled plastic, it releases microparticles into the water, which are now more easily digested for fish. And now we are digesting those microparticles every time we drink the water. So what we went from helping the planet of let's take up all this plastic and make garments, we're now actually really hurting it because every time you wash those garments, it's going back. So we had a choice of how do we go about all of these issues that there are already when it comes to quote unquote sustainable fabrics, and then also what people are taking advantage of. So we kind of landed on Modal. We use a specific yarn that we don't really disclose just because of the brand.
Sure.
We partnered with them. And so it's a special yarn that is from start to finish, the way that it is made is sustainable in every process. So it starts with beechwood, and beechwood is the most amazing wood for the earth because every time you plant beechwood, it helps the soil kind of irrigate. The process of them planting, the water that they use, and everything is so low on the spectrum that from start to finish, taking the beechwood, converting it into a cellulose, and then creating the yarn, traditionally, those are all done in separate steps, like with polyester. So you can imagine how much water and energy you're using each step of the way. With Modal, the one that we use, they do it all in one process. It goes literally through one machine, and that energy it takes to make that is actually the energy it's using in the factory. So it's a self-sustaining plant. They could lose everything tomorrow and still be able to make the fabric and everything because of the sustainability components that they've put in. It's amazing. So off the bat, the yarn that we use is thoughtfully created. Then that goes to we found a mill in California that is family owned. They use water reduction. And also we chose California because they have the highest standards in sustainability when it comes to production. So we use non-toxic dyes from start to finish. We use reactive dyes, which mean they literally bond the molecules. So your black hoodie, it is as if it was a black yarn made from the beginning. It will never fade. It will never shed. It will never pill. So that was rule number one, was ensuring non-toxic chemicals all throughout. So if you're going to sweat in them, great for sensitive skin, great for children, moms, anything like that. And if you're going to perform in them, you don't have to worry about seeping into your skin. They dye, weave, and finish everything in the United States and California, which on its own is very rare. So we have full control, and we use water reduction and non-toxicity in all practices there. We then get our fabric from California over to Brooklyn. And we make everything right here in our backyard in Brooklyn, New York. We cut and sew in our factory. Me and my business partner are the only two people on the team as of right now. So we are from, when it comes to fit modeling, whether it's our production meetings, we are at the factory two times a week. We take the train there and we hand pack every single order ourselves. We watch them cut. We watch them sew. We help package. We help put hang tags on. Everything's grassroots. And that's really the start of the company. We decided to keep everything super tight. We only have 6 colors in the 8 styles between men and women, and everything comes in every color. And we only have 2 fabrics, and that is because it took us so long to make them. So once we figured out those issues that we had, which is, I forgot even to mention what happened there. Once we figured out the shedding, it was, okay, now we literally have to reweave the fabric because we need to avoid this from happening. Long story short, 6 months later, we came up with a proprietary blend that we were able to reweave everything. And we are the first people pretty much on the market to come up with a Modal French terry that doesn't shed, that doesn't come apart, that doesn't pill, and that doesn't fade. So, Wow. Yeah, that was huge. And then our t-shirt fabric, we played with weights and we really like literally changed ounce and weaves on that as well to make it a low pill so that you can perform in it and you can ensure that you could go on a run. You could wear it to yoga. You could wear it boxing. Nothing's going to happen. Modal is super breathable. So it's the best out of polyester, cotton, and Modal. Modal is the best to work out in. It's not going to take the place of a Lululemon silverescent tank top that has performance technical qualities to it. But for your basics, Modal is the highest and the best quality that you could use. That's going to be the best for your skin while you're working out so that it's not going to chafe or keep any of the sweat locked in. So that's kind of the story of like how we got our fabric and our cuts. And then our cuts really are 43 cut fittings later. We realized no one had ever used this fabric, which meant no one had ever cut it. No one had ever sewn it, and no one had ever manipulated it to make the perfect fit. And there lies about, took us from start to finish a year just to get our website launched in November. And since then, we are really, really excited to say we started with a $120,000 loan of self-funding, and we are now up to over $300,000 in sales and with $500,000 worth of inventory that we were able to produce just from that $120,000. And that is all self-funding. That is no investor. That is just me and my business partner not willing to spend money on anything that we didn't need to spend on.
Well, that is a great story. And I hear so often people saying, oh, you can't even get in if you don't have at least $2 million, or you can't even begin something. I hear that all of the time about starting a type of manufacturing business. So that's exciting that you've kind of proved some of those people incorrect.
Yeah. And it's the one thing for me, the number one thing was I want to prove that, yes, you can make it locally. Why do I have to spend double just because it's made in New York? Well, that's just honestly, and same with the fabric. Why do I have to pay more for American made fabric versus Chinese made fabric that feels less quality? I refuse to take no as an answer. And we are living proof that if you go now and you see a product that is $180 in a store, we did, we saw a hoodie in a store that was recycled polyester, quote unquote, or recycled cotton, but then regular polyester. And it was made in Taiwan, and it was $180 for literally no reason, where our hoodie is $88 and it's made down the street from a fabric that is 7 to 1 million times better than that will ever be. So it's all about proving people wrong when it comes to starting a business, because under normal circumstances, we would have needed $20,000 for a photo shoot and another $10,000 for a website and $20,000 for marketing. And everybody loved to yell at us saying, you have to have advertising dollars, you need PR dollars, you need all of this. You don't. It's a cop out. You really don't. It's something that don't walk before you can crawl. When you have the money to do it, then you could do it. But when you have to choose, do I buy fabric or do I do a photo shoot? You're not going to have the photo shoot without the fabric. So you have to make decisions at the end that also encounter not taking a salary and working 20-hour days 10 times, over, and accepting that like you have to do everything.
I think that there's more success stories that come out of people, I don't want to say struggling, but like putting the hard work in, like just
doing it themselves.
Put the hard work in, do it themselves. There's a lot more pride in it at the end of the day. There's a lot more self-worth and self-accomplishment at the end of the day. And you don't buy into, oh, well, I guess this just isn't going to work, or,
right,
people don't really want this particular product. When you have put everything into it, I think you do work a lot harder. So what do you think a couple of your greatest skill sets are that have really kind of helped you sort of continue in this and be successful with it?
I would say sense of urgency. That is the number one. I have always valued that my client's time is more valuable than mine. And I think that kind of mentality is how I've stayed humble throughout everything. I have seen so many business owners that aren't even product-based businesses. These are service-based businesses that there's no overhead. You could literally walk away from this job at any given moment. You have nothing attached to it, that have more attitudes towards, well, my client needs to understand what I'm saying, versus the opposite. Whereas I understand, no, they don't. They have the money. They have the power. They're asking me for something. I am not asking them for something. So I would say, like, number one, knowing that my client is always right. And so if I do something wrong, own it and just fix it as quickly as you possibly can, and showing them that I value their time and their energy just as much as they value mine and what I'm offering them. Because staying humble to me is the number one. I think the minute you're entitled or you're arrogant, you've lost and you're just on a very slippery slope down. Mm-hmm. And I would say another thing is also just me understanding that, like, being resourceful. I have been in New York for 10 years. So I have built a network of just friends and family and people here that without nurturing and you and really being authentic and caring about those relationships, there's no way on God's green earth I would have had software where it is right now if I didn't have those relationships and really like treated them with a lot of love and care. So those are, I would say, the two skills that I have is just, I know what needs to be done. I know how to get it done in a timely and an efficient manner. And I know that it doesn't need to be done in the most cost effective, in the most costly way.
Right.
So, good. Yeah. So that would be it. I mean, other than that, there's no way we would have gotten, you know, within, we've been on the market for since November, technically, like we started shipping orders. We launched our website. We just launched in Bloomingdale's. We had Amazon, Tracy Anderson. We have an amazing relationship with Everybody Fights, 305. And we have the, we're launching in Australia, New Zealand this summer in the Iconic. And we're just working with so many amazing partners that without those relationships, it would never have been possible.
Right. So that's awesome.
Thank you.
So you've shared with us some great accomplishments and some obstacles, which we've heard about. So why don't you talk a little bit about what does working from your happy place mean to you?
Oh, that's my number one. I have to say, I'll never forget when I worked at the showroom for Elie Saab and the brands, I would every day come in just saying, man, I would kill to be able to work from home with my dog and to be able to have that freedom. And I think that was the first step of me understanding, that's what being an entrepreneur is really having that own time management and being able to work in a space where it allowed me to feel that I wanted to work as opposed to walking into my office hating every second of it. So for me, my happy place and working from there is the bread and butter of my success and my getting up every day and wanting to do this. There's nothing better than right now. I get to work from my living room. I've got all these amazing plants everywhere. My dog and his cute little face are staring at me all day. And I really just get to be me. I get to process and call. If I want to take 10 minutes to call my partner and just scream for a minute and go through all of these things that I wouldn't be able to do if I wasn't in my comfort zone. And I've set up an office downstairs. I have a 2 floors in my apartment. And so I have certain areas that I dictate of like, this is where I'm going to do the work that I really don't want to do. So I don't associate that with my time relaxing on the couch. And then I have certain areas in my home where it's like, I could do emails here and I can mindlessly get lost in production orders because I feel just super comfortable. And in my workplace, what makes me feel really great, I always have a candle going. I always have scent because scent is what gets me really motivated. And I always have some kind of greenery, plants, life, something that I can just be surrounded by beauty, and just feel really cozy. I've always loved like a cozy feel. So when you walk into my home, which is my workplace, you instantly feel at ease.
Well, good. That is great.
Thanks.
So what advice would you give to others who want to be entrepreneurs?
First and foremost, I would say is solve a problem. How many times I've had so many of my friends or just people like, oh, I want to start a clothing company. Okay, great. Why? Well, I just love fashion. Okay, great. Can we go further? What are you going to bring to the market that we don't have already? I want to bring leggings. Right, because no one's ever heard of that. Okay, great. Go further. You have to have a reason as to why people are going to say yes. At the end of the day, I knew there is nothing that makes my t-shirt that much more different just on the outside than the t-shirt that's standing next to it. Because there's both the story and the fabric and things like that. But on paper, it's a t-shirt. So it's really like, okay, how much further can you go? What kind of story do you want to share with people? Like, you need to get people to connect with your brand authentically. You want to have clients, not just customers, people that really care about what you're doing. And I would always say to anybody that wants to do it is just be sure you're ready. Being an entrepreneur comes with literally mental breakdowns. I can't tell you how many panic attacks I've had, how many times I've literally lost my marbles to the point where, I mean, my actual relationship with my now ex suffered because both of us didn't know how to handle stress in our work to the point where our fights were astronomical. So that's always something I like to prepare people for. Being an entrepreneur is awesome, and starting your own business is the most rewarding thing. And when you walk into Bloomingdale's and you see your pullover hanging there, you just know how much work you put to get there. But you have to be prepared to know that you're going to eat every step of the way. So if you think this is going to be fun and roses and daisies, not at all. Mentally, you are going to be pushed to your max, and you're going to question your self-worth, your life, your entire company. But honestly, if you're not doing that, then you're not doing it right. And so I always like to prep people for the mental and the physical toll it's going to take on you, to just be ready for the fact that, like, it's okay to break down, throw your phone up against the wall and just start crying because you just found out your fabric's 3 weeks delayed and you're going to miss your shipping window. It happens. Anticipate literally the worst thing on every scale that you could possibly imagine. Not to deter people from starting the business, because I think it's a beautiful thing, but I always like to keep it real of managing expectations, that it's hard and it is rewarding and it's beautiful, but it is not just going to be where you wake up, you throw something on the internet, and all of a sudden you've sold out and you're making a mill. It's just not that way.
I know. And unfortunately, that's the stories we see all of the time online are, oh, I was broke and I just did this and now I'm making seven figures. It's like, no, wait a minute. Okay, so what happened between A and B? Because I know in running a business, it just doesn't happen like that overnight.
That's not reality. Yeah, like, or when you hear those clothing companies, oh, American Giant, they had one article in Slate Magazine, they sold out for 3 years thereafter, and they couldn't keep up with the demand. As a clothing company, I'd literally sell my soul to have one article sell me out for 3 years, so where I could actually say, oh my goodness, I can open up more manufacturing, we can give more back to our community, I can take a salary from what I'm doing. That's my dream, but that's not reality. There is that one brand that happened to. You know how many brands there are?
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, that's it. It's managing expectations of, like, you know, you don't need to go out and hire a PR person. You don't need to hire a marketing person. You don't need to get the best salesperson and put all of your eggs in that basket, because what's going to happen? You're going to blow through all your money, and then all of a sudden, didn't get you anything. There's no ROI there. The hard work comes from you going, and literally every client I've had is because I showed up at my client, one of the clients here in Midtown. I literally showed up at his door at 9 a.m. and knocked until he answered. And he came out and I gave him a hoodie, and he said, if I like it, I'll buy it. We've been working together for 6 months now consistently. So you got to just go out and do it. And if you think just it's going to happen, This isn't Instagram. This is not the social media world of the influencers that post one thing and all of a sudden it doesn't work that way.
Right. So two things. What exciting things are you working on right now that you want our listeners to know about? And then also, how can people find you? How can they find, more importantly, your clothing?
Cool. All right. So exciting things we're working on. Of course, Bloomingdale's was one of the most surreal moments, especially because we had been trying to get them for over a year. And, you know, like any good lady, they're playing hard to get, and they made us work for it. But that moment, I think, was, you know, growing with Bloomingdale's right now. We do have quite a few vendors we are working on, but until those POs are solidified, we're just kind of going to say, we are going to expand into some very big boutique studios coming up quickly, and hopefully some more majors by the end of the year. That's all I'm going to say.
Awesome.
Yeah. And like, we're always, always constantly working. We're looking for different charities to partner with. We have one that we're hoping to work with soon to give hoodies to kids with cancer. Always looking at other all areas of opportunity for the brand. And I would say, yeah, that's probably the most exciting thing, is just like the growth.
Okay.
Oh, you can find us right now. Wearsoftware.com is our website. So that has everything. If you're local, obviously in Bloomingdale's, if you're in New York or in LA, we have our four pop-up shops at the Good for the Globe Sustainable Carousel. And then we are online as well. Bloomingdale's has our exclusive pink color right now. So they have a pink pullover that nobody else has, which is, I've been getting more emails about that than anything else. And
exciting.
Yeah, it's super exciting. And I would say also something for everyone to look out for. So I would say the website is number one, but we do have some very, very fun fashion pieces that we have them done and ready. We're just trying to figure out where they're going to be and what vendor's going to take what. So I'd say for anybody who's falling in love with our fit and our fabric, that wants a little bit something, something, a little bit more. Not to say we're going to take away from the roots of our simplicity and our true minimalist of the brand, but a little zhuzh that will be coming out hopefully by the end of this year. If not for sure, spring 2020 is going to be completely new, some new styles that are coming out and some new colors. So that's the exciting thing.
Great. Do you mind? I would love for you to share the story of, because I love those moments in life when you feel like, oh, we landed this or we made it. And you do, you feel in that moment like we've made it. And you'll have many more of those moments probably as you continue to go along. But share with us the Bloomingdale story, if you don't mind.
Of course. And it's so funny you mentioned that. Every single time, like when we got Amazon, that was our first account. I'll never forget leading up to the appointment, that thought of, oh my goodness, if we get this, when that PO comes in. And then the minute it comes in, you're sitting at your computer and you're like, so this is it, huh? Like this is that moment. So Bloomingdale's was similar. I had known the buyers from working with them at every other brand and trying, and always them saying, it's just not right. No, it's just not the right assortment. And so when software launched and the minute I had the lookbook, first thing I did was send it to them. And of course it was, I don't know, but just what's so special? What's so special? It's a hoodie. I don't know if we need it. And so we kept going. And finally I said, you know what? Just let us come in. Please, just give me the opportunity. I'm going to bring each one of you something. You all want to pull over? Let me know your size. Should you love it? We'll go from there. And I remember calling my mom and my dad, both of them, right before I walked in. And my mom just saying, just stay humble, be you, walk in with a smile, just go kick ass. You know what you're doing. And it was just one of those moments where we walked in and the stars aligned. The minute we gave them their pullovers, they looked at everything and they said, we get it. We understand what makes this so special. And they said, we want this. We want you for the pop-up, the carousel. We're going to choose all of the styles. But that wasn't as easy. It wasn't that quick. It was, but we still want to see what's new. And this was in October, and we knew that the stuff had to be hitting Bloomingdale's by February. So just doing the math on how long it takes to order fabric and to do everything, we were literally giving ourselves maybe 3-4 days of a window to be able to realistically achieve this. And so when we left the meeting, it was, but we want to see all the new stuff first to make sure that we're comfortable with what we're choosing. It took us a month and a half to get everything, every pattern we had to make, 14 new styles. We created an entire new collection, all new colors by the time we got everything done. And we went in December. And when we walked in, our fashion director looked at us and just said, nope, I want what made you special. This stuff is seriously something that I've never seen before. And I've never worn a hoodie that fit me so well. I want the core. We got that order at middle of December, and we were still able to deliver February 15th.
Wow.
So we were still able to order the fabric, and even with shipping delays, and I'll never forget the day that the UPS was coming. Craig and I had to go early in the morning at like 8 a.m. to the factory to pack the pink pullovers. They weren't done yet. They were still steaming and taking the threads off, and they were handing us loads of them and going, okay, great, these are mediums. One person was folding them, passing to the nether. That person was putting them in the plastic. I was sealing the plastic, putting the label on it, and Craig was packaging each box. And then UPS came that after, or FedEx came that afternoon and picked it up. So that entire thing. And then of course, does it ever stop there? No, because then Bloomingdale's had their launch event 2 weeks ago, and we learned along the way, again, Murphy's Law, never expect anything to go as planned. We did not know about the hang tags that needed to be on them. It happens, right? Life, you know, you don't know. And so I get all dressed up the night of the event. It's the big launch party for Bloomingdale's, the most surreal moment. My mom, she gave me her vintage Chanel bag that she promised me for 20 plus years. She said, when you start your business, like, I'm going to give you this bag. And she gave it to me for our Bloomies launch, because Bloomies was where my mama took us growing up. And I'm wearing heels. I trek it all the way to 59th Street, which is almost 45 minutes from my house. And I walk in, and I immediately realize software's not there. And so the entrepreneur in me kicked in. The person I was with said, whatever, who cares? Just leave it. No big deal. It'll be on the floor eventually. I said, nope, I did not come all the way for a launch party to find out our brand's not going to be launched at the party. And I went and I asked the girls, I asked all the people on the floor. They inquired. They said, I'm so sorry. Just not everything made it. You know, it was, you guys had the tags wrong. I said, no problem. I'm going to find it. I went 3 different floors, found the girl who had our stuff, asked her where it was, went to the stock room, pulled everything out. I asked her, I said, we can print tags, right? Yep, we can print tags. We printed out each individual one. Meanwhile, my friend had his arms out. We were stacking each one. I was stapling each individual tag to each piece, carried it down the stairs, got to the event, changed the hangers, got them out.
Wow.
That's the story of, and then we were there for an hour, but I said, come hell or high water, I'm doing it. And fight or flight kicked in. I couldn't accept just, oh, whoops, it didn't make it. No. No way. Who was going to do it if I didn't do it?
Wow, that's incredible. Well, this has been absolutely, it's just been a fun interview. Really fun. I love your energy. I love what you've done. I love your tenacity, the story. It's just, it's heartwarming. So,
thank you.
And I'm really super excited for you. And the next time I'm in New York,
please.
I am going to make sure that we check you out.
Please do. Thank you so much again for your time. And I'm just really excited to be able to share with everybody what we're trying to do over here in Brooklyn.
Yeah, it's great. It's really exciting. And I know that a lot of our listeners care about the things that you're doing. So the sustainability and products that are healthy for not only yourself, but for the environment. So I think it's all great. So I'm super excited for you. And of course, wearing nice things that are soft and feel good is always the best, right? And fit right.
Of course. And especially knowing that, yes, you can machine wash and machine dry all of these. And no, they're not going to come apart. You have longevity as well in your products. That's just something awesome to know. And so I'm very excited for hopefully everybody to try them. And if to anybody out there that does try them, we always encourage, please email me. Let me know your thoughts and what you think and how you liked it, how you hated it. I want to know the feedback because I can't improve the brand unless I know about these things.
Perfect. Well, you have a fabulous rest of your day and we'll connect again soon.
Awesome. Thank you again so much. I'll talk to you guys soon.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends and be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com. And click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.